Alright, Shabbos say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Dalet. We are picking up on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We're actually picking up a lot to do today. We're picking up 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20 lines up from the bottom. On Mem Gimel Amud Beis, like I said, a lot to do this morning. We dedicate our learning this morning in the Schus of Refuah Shelema for Yeshaya Shlomo Ben Shoshana Aviva, in the hope that in the merit of the surgery that he's having this morning should be with complete mazel. Let's continue. So remember again, we're in the middle of discussing, the Gemara was discussing the case of Mavrich, the case of grafting. So the Mishnah said that even if you go ahead and you graft a plant, that Lemaisa, again, that could go ahead and satisfy the criteria for going ahead and coming back for more, for a new planting. So the Gemara is trying to figure out, first of all, we're seeing already that's a machlokes. Not everybody agrees that that's true. And the Gemara is trying to figure out what would be the case of grafting that essentially would create a new netiyah, a new plant that would enable one to return for more. So the Gemara gives another example of, or another possibility. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says the case is b'mavrich ilan b'yerek, where one goes ahead and grafts a tree. But in this context, yerek means an herb, not a vegetable, but an herb. V'hai tanuhu, and it reflects the following time of this sanya, ha'mavrich ilan b'yerek, if one goes ahead and grafts a tree onto an herb. Rav Shimon Gamliel matir, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that it's mutter, that such the product of that grafting is in fact permitted. Mishur may be Yehuda ben Gam the ish kfar ako, the chachamim osrim. The chachamim on the other hand say that it's aser. Ki aser abdimi amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hamani, who's the pain does this reflect? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakovi. But says the Gemara, lo amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov hasam, kerim kemashmao, hachanami nata kemashmao, notea in mavrichu markiblo. Rabbi say, here's the issue. If it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Eliezer ben Yaakov was the one who said that kerem def, mazel tov to Ari on the birth of a daughter yesterday. Mazel tov, mazel tov. And he's at Daf Yomi. So I just want to point out, whatever excuses, that was Baruch Hashem. Mazel tov. So the Gemara says the following. So remember, both say, so ask the Gemara, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, I don't understand. At the end of the day, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov was the one who said that kerem dafka means kerem, that kerem dafka means ultimately a vineyard, so if that's the case, or an orchard, if that's the case, then when we speak about notea should also mean mamish anatiya, something you plant, and not something you graft, to which the Gemara says, so the Gemara therefore ends off with that discussion. So bottom line, the Gemara gave a number of different suggestions as to what case of grafting could ultimately result in an exemption from war. But of course, the underlying machlokis is whether or not a grafting represents a new planting at all. That itself is subject to machlokis. So the Gemara goes right. Ki aser abdimi am Rabbi Yochanan b'shom Elazar ben Yaakov. Yolda pechusa mitefa chayev es ba'arla kol shenosel v'mischazi chavas shasa. What's another interesting halacha? A yolda means a small vine. A small vine that is less than a tefach is chayiv in arla every year. Why? Because it has the appearance of only being 1 year old. And I'll as well say, like a Maris Ayin issue, that it's less than a tefach, it looks like a brand new vine. If it looks like a brand new vine, then again, if you're eating of its fruit, people will assume that what? That you're eating from arla fruit. Therefore, in order to avoid this, you have to go ahead and treat it as arla every year. So the Gemara will discuss exactly what you do with a vine like that. That's only true if you have a relatively small numbering. In other words, you have two against two with one coming out the end. We saw that formation of five in Rashi yesterday. Let's say, first of all, take a look at Rashi. Rashi's kol shenosel. Remember, Rashi's on both columns on this page. This is on the left-hand column of Rashi. Kol shenosel, midirabanan kol hayamim arla nohegisba, dimischazya kibas shasa, v'haroa sha'ochlin perosel, omer sheperos olam tor. So Rashi says that midirabanan, you would essentially never eat from the fruits of this vine. Midirabanan, you would treat it like arla for all of the years. So the Gemara says, "Vayter avakule kerem kala isle." But I'm going to say, here's the difference. If you have a, if you have an entire vineyard filled with vines like this, then it has a cul. In other words, the Gemara saying is like this. If you just have a couple of independent, smaller vines, then the mice, again, that look like they're under a year, then you have to treat it like under a year, and you have to treat it like Arla. But if it's a whole vineyard filled with these type of vines, it has a cul. People know that it's just a stunted growth. It's just a stunted growth vineyard. Kiyasra abdimi amra abiyokam vishom belazer ben Yaakov mace. Toface arba amas the kriyashima. But I'll say another halacha. This is just once we're discussing Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this is all these halachas come up. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says a mace, a corpse, toface arba amas the kriyashima. So literally a corpse grabs onto the dalit amas surrounding it to prohibit kriyashima. In other words, that the halacha is that you're not permitted to recite Shema. By the way, this is not unique to Shema, this is any mitzvah. You can't go ahead and perform a mitzvah within Dalet Amos, within Dalet Amos is approximately 6 feet, within 6 feet of a corpse. What's the reason for that? Dechsev loig l'rash cheref oseyu. Because we'll say the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Mishlei. Literally, loig l'rash means that one who goes ahead and, you know, rattles their money, right? If you take out your wad of bills and you start counting it in front of a pauper, cheref oseyu, it's like he's blaspheming his creator. The idea is that you don't go ahead and flaunt what you have in front of someone who does not. And therefore, the mice, again, we'll say, you know, the Chafetz Chaim brings in, he says that the scariest part of death is not the cessation of life. The scariest part of death is the inability to do mitzvos. Because when a person is alive, he could do anything and everything in every moment. Mamish, you could be kona olam haba, over and over and over. When you die, what you have is what you have. So therefore, again, we're very careful not to flaunt our ability to perform mitzvos in the presence of the dead. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm Rabbi Yonah's son, Yochanan, Mishur Belazer ben Yaakov. Another halacha. Chargasa hakdela ben ha'achin, asurin linase la'achin, demischazia kiachasayu. What's another interesting halacha? A stepsister, Chagasa Rashi says, it's Bas Ishto. So let's say you have a family, again, and there's a family of boys, and the father marries another woman who's not the mother of the boys, and she has her own daughter. Father dies, her parents die, and the little girl grows up amongst her stepbrothers. Now, both say, on a technical level, one of those boys can marry her. There's absolutely no halachic problem with marrying her. However, again, the Gemara says that Lamaisa, she should not marry them. Why? Because it, she looks like their sister. In other words, that since she grew up with them, she looks like their sister. Therefore, again, Lamaisa, she should not marry them. Belohi, the Gemara says it's not really true. That's not really true. Even if she grows up with them, she could still marry one of them. Why? Because it has a kol. It has a kol. People know about these things. This is just, again, remember, you're wondering to yourself, what's the common denominator among all of these halachas? The answer is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. These are all statements of Rabbi Elazar. Thematically, they're not linked at all. They just all happen to originate from the same rabbinic source. Next. Leket shikha upeyasha son begorin. We'll say if you have leket, shikha, and peyas. Remember, again, these are all different types of gifts for the poor. So leket means you dropped stalks. Shikha, you left behind bundles. Peya is the corner of the field. So we'll say, technically speaking, all of these items are, I guess, for what you'd call today, tax exempt. Right? So meaning you do not have to tithe leket, shikha, and peya. However, if an ani collected leket, shikha, and peya, and he collected it in such volume that sha'asot and begorin, he piles it all up in a pile. Then what's the halacha? Hukvu lemeiser. Then I will say again, they become obligated in meiser. The idea over here is that if you have such a large amount that it looks like, again, it's your produce, if it looks like your produce, then you're obligated to tithe it. Amr ula, so ula qualifies the statement. Lo amr ela besada. This is only true if you are accumulating it in your field. Aval beir, but if you're bringing it into your home in the city, kala islay. Lemilsa, the matter has a call, and people know that it's not your produce. Rather, again, it's produce. It's produce that you are acquiring from leket shechacha and peya, and therefore it's not subject to trumas and meiser. So, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Yochanan, Mishum Lozer ben Yaakov, Yoldo hapechusa mitefach, eima mikadeshes es hazroim. But it's another interesting halacha. Back to vines. If you have a vine, a young vine that is less than a tefach tall, the halacha is about say eima mikadeshes hazroim means it does not create an issue of klai hakerem. So our klai hakerem is a mixture between a vineyard and some other type of growth. If those items grow in close proximity to each other and contribute to one another's growth, then halacha lemaisa they aser each other. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying is, if the vine is less than a tefach tall, it does not create, it's insignificant, and therefore does not create a klayak karam problem. That's only true if it's a relatively small number of them, meaning two, and one coming out the end. However, but if you have a whole vineyard of these small types of vines, then einachinami, they will create klaya karam issues. I'm going to be talking about Yochanan, Mishulam, Zemi Yaakov, top of Mandalid, mace, tofes, arba, amos, latuma. So we'll say, we said before that a mace, takes up Dalit Amma 6 feet. Legabe mitzvos, that you can't do mitzvos within 6 feet of a mace. Now the Gemara is saying that ultimately you can't come within 6 feet of a mace or you contract tuma. Contract tuma. Says Rashi, take a look, tap Rashi on Mem Dalit Amma Dalit. Mace tofes arba amos l'tuma. Chachamim gazru shiyehe hamace metame. Kala nichnas ba'arba amosav. Kedei shelo yargilu ochle taros likarev lo. So Chazal did this in order to make sure that people who are consuming food that is ritually pure or sacrificial items do not come within Dalit Amos of a mace. So in order to ensure that people don't accidentally contract corpse tuma, so the rabbis made a gzira, and the gzira was that you can't go ahead and come within Dalit Amos of a mace without becoming tame. The Tana to know, we have a brisa that supports this. Chatzar HaKever Ha'omid B'socha Tor V'hushi Yehuba Arba Amos Sivrei Beishamai U'Beisila Omrim Arba Atzvokim. So we'll say, now the Gemara brings down a brisa that supports this. We'll say, Chatzar HaKever is the following. We've spoken about this before, that they used to bury people, it's called a Ma'ara, a burial cave. So a burial cave was a dugout area that essentially they would dig out shelves into the walls of the cave. They would put the bodies on these shelves. When the bodies would decompose, they would then take the bones and bury the bones in family plots. So there was an entranceway to this, was called this Ma'ara. That area is called the Chatzar HaMa'ara. So therefore the price server is talking about the following situation. If a person standing in the Chatzar of the Ma'ara, the courtyard leading into the burial cave, the halacha is that a person is tahar as long as that chatzer is at least Dalit Amos in area, right? Because this way, again, a person is not within Dalit Amos of a kever. These are the words of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, no, it doesn't have to be Dalit Amos. It's even enough if it's Dalit Tfachim. Even if it's Dalit Tfachim. Now, we'll say, now, again, the logic over here is that Beis Shammai holds that all you need is a makom chashuv. Remember, again, we'll say, technically speaking, if you stand within Dalit Amos of a grave, so you do not contract tuma. This is a gzera midirabbanan that the rabbis are saying, if you come within Dalit Amos, you're tame. The reason for that is they're concerned that people, if they come too close to a corpse, will not be careful and will become tame without realizing they're tame. What the Gemara is saying over here is, however, if you are standing in a makam chashav, in a clearly demarcated area, that this gzera won't apply. So therefore, again, according to Beis Hillel, as long as the area is Dalit Tfachim, so 4 Tfachim already is considered to be a makam chashav, an important area. Therefore, as long as that chatzar is Dalit Tfachim, you're covered and you're not going to become tame. So Medram, when is this true? Shepis Chamilamalo. This, Nabosei, now understand, these burial caves were actually underground. Remember, they were hollowed out areas underground. Nabosei, they're building these now. But you should know, it's amazing. They're building these now in Har Menuchos. This is exactly what they're building now, this underground, like catacomb type of things, because they're out of space. So again, it's interesting. Burial space is always at a premium in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says the following. When is this true? When the opening to get into the burial cave is on top. So Abba said there'd be like an opening on top, and you would be lowered into it. However, Ava Pischa min atzad divrei akol arba amos. But if, again, Abba said, if the opening is on the side, so Abba said opening is on the side means there'd be an opening, and like there's like a staircase to walk down into the burial cave, everyone will agree in that case that the area of the chatzar has to be Dalit Amos in order not to contract tumah. Says the Gemara, it doesn't make sense. Klapi layo. Adarabba, I would have said just the opposite. Minat sad, beidid midadir, vinafik, milamala, efshar delo mahyo. I would say just the opposite. You see, the greater concern would be when you're entering into the burial cave directly from above. Because if you're entering into the burial cave directly from above, I would have said the concern may be that what? That you may actually hover on top of a grave. That's the case where in order to avoid tumah, the chatzar should have to be at least Dalit Amos. On the other hand, where you are entering from the side, so the Bosai said there, the assumption is like a stairway going in, you're already quite a distance removed from the kever itself, and therefore I would have thought that even an area of Dalat Tfachim should be absolutely enough. To which the Gemara says, Rather, the Gemara says, you're right, when is this true? Shepes Chamin Atzad. This machlokus v'shem v'shilol is only when the opening is from the side and there's a staircase going down. Aval pischa milamalo. But Rabbi says, if your only way to get into the burial cave is on top and you're lowered in, arba amos. Everyone is going to agree that what? That halacha lemaisa you require an area of dalet amos for the chatzar in order to avoid contracting tumah. V'hani mili chatzar akever demesayma mechitzta. And Rabbi says, this is only talking about, again, the chatzar of a kever, where, again, that area is clearly demarcated. Remember, this was a little bit of a circuitous way to back up the statement of Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, namely that halacha lemaisa, normally, again, this halacha is only by the ma'ara, this burial cave, because again, the chatzar and the burial cave are clearly demarcated one from the other. So as long as the chatzar itself is a makam choshev, is an important area. Important, again, is machlokis. Beis Shammai says dal ramas, Beis Hillel says dal tfachim. Either way, you won't contract tumah, but under normal circumstances, where the concern is that you may lose sight of where the kever is, and you may come in contact with the kever, or to hover over the kever, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov paskins, which seems what the Gemara paskins, is that within dalet amos of a kever, ultimately, again, you do become tameh. And Rabbi said that is halacha lemaisa. Again, the only real halachic manifestation that has for us today is by kohanim. That kohanim may not come within, it's not just they can't touch a kever or hover over a kever, they can't really come within dalet amos of a kever. So a kohen must maintain a distance of at least 6 feet from any grave, and again, that's in conformance with the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Says the Gemara, Mia Isha Asher Aras Isha. So must remember, now we're going back to the exemptions from war. So remember again, the first exemption that the Gemara spoke about was a man who betrothed a woman, but did not yet live with her. Only Erusin did not yet have Nisuin, and therefore did not yet live with her, and therefore the Mishnah says that he could turn back from war.
Amen.
So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Asher Aras, the Mishnah says, the Torah says, that a man betrothed the woman, so both say this is true whether again the Erusin is with a Basula, or whether the Erusin is with an Amana, a widow, or whether again she's a Shomeres Yavam. This is a Yibum situation. In any of these cases, again, if the man has not yet lived with these women, then Halach Lamais, he can go back for more. Furthermore, even if you have a situation where a brother died, and there are 5 surviving brothers, all of them come back for war, from war, on the account of Yibum. Because again, Rabbi says, since none of them have yet done Yibum, therefore Halach Lamais, they all have a connection to this particular woman, therefore they'd all be permitted to come back from war, until the point that one of the brothers would perform Yibum. Lo lakach v'lo likacha. But remember again, what the Gemara is doing over here is contrasting Lashonos. The Pasuk could have said, Umi ha'ish asher eras isha v'lo lakach, and did not take her. Why? But instead the Torah says, v'lo likacha, prat, so we'll say, the general klal is, now, whenever the Torah uses a more verbose or protracted, an elongated form of a word that it didn't have to, that's usually for drasha purposes. So what's the drasha here? Prat la'amana la'koin gadol, grusha v'chalutza la'koin hadyot, mamzeres unasina li'yisrael, bas yisrael la'mamzol anasin. They both say, so halach la'maisa, what does it come to exclude? It comes to exclude an illegal marriage. In a legal marriage, that if there is an illegal marriage, a kohen marries an almana, a kohen gadol marries an almana, a kohen hedyo marries a grusha v'chalutza, or a man marries a mamzeres, in any of these illegal situations, then halacha lemaisa, there is no exemption from war because of this. To which the Gemara says, well, let me look at Rabbi Yosei Alili. Apparently, this Mishnah does not reflect the Rabbi Yosei Alili. How so? Dear Rabbi Yosei Alili, who amar hayari v'rachaliva. Rabbi Yosei, we'll see this in the next Mishnah. Rabbi Yosei Alili says that when the Torah exempts the individual who is scared, what is that? Excuse me. What does that refer to? Zeha misyare me'averos shebiyado. This goes ahead and refers to someone who is scared of the averos he has committed. So let's say, listen to this. So according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, if you're scared of your averos, so you do not go ahead and go out to war. That's Rabbi Yossi Haglili Shita. Rabbi Yossi, now using that logic over here, so therefore, if you have someone who's engaged in an illegal marriage, I don't need an extra word of lekacha to teach me that he's exempt. Why is he exempt? Because he's an avarian, because he's doing an avera. By definition, being engaged in active avera is enough of an exemption from war. But it's actually quite interesting. I feel like Rabbi Yossi Haglili, which the Gemara says, no. Our Mishnah could even reflect the Rabbi Yossi Haglili. How so? Kid Rabba, do Amar Rabba liolam eno chayv ad sheyivol. It's actually very interesting. We'll say Rabba holds that when you enter into an illegal marriage, in fact, you are not chayv for that marriage until bia, until relations occur. Matam lo yikach, mishum lo yichalel. Because we'll say again, what's the reason why there's a prohibition on marrying, let's say, for a Kohen Gadol to an Almana, or for a Kohen Hedyo to a Grusha v'chalutza, mishum lo yichalel, in order that they not profane their offspring. Meaning, the marriage itself is only prohibited because it profanes the offspring. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef Lili Paskins, the isser of marrying these prohibited women is only in effect when lamaisa again, there's bia, mishum hachi eino loke achi yival. Therefore, aloch lamaisa, there's actually no Malchus, there is no punishment until there is bia. So we'll say, so the logic over here is the following, that you could have a situation, this is actually very interesting, you could have a situation of a man who's married to a woman who he's not allowed to be married to, but he has not yet violated any isser. What's that case? Now, that only works according to Rabbah. Because, so again, if you have a Kohen Gadol who married in Almana, when I say married is, let's say again, there was Erusin. So now he's getting ready to go out to war. Or better stated, there's the Yisrael who marries a Mamzeres. Keep it easy. Yisrael marries a Mamzeres. So again, they had Erusin. So now the Mashuach Muhammad's making the announcement about exemptions. Whoever had Erusin but did not yet live with his wife can go back from war. So the Yisrael hears, oh, that's me. We say, no, that's not you. Why is that not you? Because again, only permitted marriages go ahead and exempt a person from war. And even though you are not yet in violation of anything, according to Rabbi at least, why are you not in violation of anything? Because there was no bia yet. But nevertheless, this is not the type of marriage that exempts you. Ten Rabbanon. Both say, beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Asher bana Asher nota asher aras. I will say, remember again, the order that the Torah gives the exemptions is, who is the man who built a home and didn't yet live in it? Who is the man who planted a vineyard and did not yet enjoy the fruit of it? And who is the man who betrothed the woman and did not yet live her? I will say, it's an amazing Gemara. Limda Torah derech eretz. What the Gemara is picking up on over here is why that order, to which the Gemara says, the Torah is teaching us derech eretz. I will say, derech, not like midos. The Torah is teaching us proper code of conduct. I will say, what's the proper code of conduct? Sheyivna adam bayis. First thing in life is a person should build a home for himself. V'yita kerem. He should plant a vineyard. In other words, get a parnasa. V'acharkach yisa isha. This is a very novel idea, right? That a person should be self-sufficient. A person should have a parnasa. A person should have money. A person should have home. And then he should get married. I know, it's crazy. If I would say it, you'd call me an apikores. But again, it's not me. It's the Gemara. I'm sorry? Right, or a shver. Right, the Maharsha brings down. Right, or a wealthy father-in-law. Either of those two are good. So Gemara says, oh, again, incredible Yisrael. I'm also, you understand. I'm also, just as an aside, by the way, you understand that the concept today, Baruch Hashem, that we have such a proliferation of learning, is something that Klal Yisrael never, ever had before. And that has to do with Baruch Hashem, a certain level of unprecedented wealth that Klal Yisrael has as well, which is an incredible bracha. But you see again, Limda Torah Derech Eretz, this is not just about a proper financial model. This is also a good model for personal responsibility, that a person has to take achrayis over their life. And the younger you are when you take achrayis for your life, the better off and more successful you will be. An incredible yisod. Va'af Shlomo Ar b'chachmaso, so too Shlomo HaMelech said in his wisdom. Again, Gemara is recording the pasuk from Mishlei. Hachin b'chutz melachtecha, literally prepare your work outside. We'll define what's in just a moment. Va'atita basade lach, and literally, work in your own field. Achar ubanisa beisecha, then you will build your home. What does that mean? Hachin b'chutz melachtecha, prepare your work outside. Zebayis, this refers to establishing a home. It will say, literally means a physical home. Va'atita basade lach, and work in your own field. Zekerem, this refers to a vineyard. Parnasa. Achar ubanisa beisecha, then you will build your home. Zu isha, this is her first wife, echoing the same sentiment. Dover achar, another possibility is hachin b'chutz melachtcha. This is also very beautiful. What does it mean? Go ahead and prepare your work on the outside. Zem mikra. This refers to the fact that you should make sure to master chumash. Va'atata basadalach, make sure to work in your own field. Zu mishnah. This refers to mishnah. Achar ubanisa beisecha, then you will build your home. Ze gimara. Suppose a person has to grow in his learning. Chumash, mishnah, gimara. Dover acher. Hachin b'chutz melachtecha. Prepare your work outside. Ze mikra mishnah. This refers to chumash and mishnah. Va'atata basadalach, and ultimately prepare your field. Ze gimara. Achar ubanisa beisecha, elu ma'asin tov. This refers to good actions. So we'll say first make sure to establish a foundation in learning, and then do good things. We'll say an incredible yisod also, because you see, we see conflicting ideas in Chazal about sometimes you should start with good things. Here the Gemara is saying learn first, and then you'll do good. We'll say the reason you have to learn first is because without a solid rooting in Torah, so good is very subjective. There are a lot of things that people do that are quote-unquote good, or that they think are good. It might have the most noble of intentions, but unless your life barometer is well established within the framework of Torah, there is no way to truly discern and define what actual good is. The Gemara Gavach, Rabbi Lazar ben Osh, Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer, Hachin b'chutz melachtecha, prepare your work outside, Zem mikra mishnu gimara. This refers to Torah, right? Chumash, mishnah, gimara, va'atata basadelach, you will go out in your work in a field that's yours, elu ma'asim tovim. This refers ultimately again to good deeds. Achar ubanisa beisecha, then you will build your home. Drosh v'kabel schar. This refers to the idea that what Rabbi say, you should learn ultimately again for the sake of learning, and you will be able to receive reward. Just very quickly, the Maharsha actually comments on this. He says, drosh v'kabel schar, gam shekvar bolichlal sheviuli de meisim tovim amar drosh v'kabel schar bechachma iyunis. The Rabbi say, in other words, what the Maharsha says, the Gemara is saying is, even if you've established for yourself, Baruch Hashem, a strong foundation in Torah, and even if you're, thank God, your learning has led you to ma'asim tovim, good deeds, understand the need for constant, perpetual growth. The Maharsha says, that's what it means, drosh v'kabel schar. Drosh v'kabel schar means never rest on your accomplishments, never assume that you're done, rather make sure to go ahead and keep on growing, keep on doing, keep on accomplishing. Quite beautiful. The Maharsha also comments, as you look at the Maharsha on your own, but the Maharsha also comments and he says very beautifully that you see the whole theme of this Gemara is that you have to have a plan in life. Without a plan, you see, the greatest challenge in life is not chet. We often speak about this. We saw this Masil HaShasharim. The greatest challenge in life is not sin. The greatest challenge in life is not our time. The greatest challenge in life is a lack of a plan. What am I doing? How am I growing? What am I working towards? So the Gemara says, you see from here that what Chazal tried to teach us is, there's a plan. Whether that plan is, house, parnasa, marriage, or whether that plan is, you know, mikra, mishnah, gemara, or whether that plan is mikra, mishnah, gemara, master, or joshua, kabaschar, whatever the plan is, there are multiple iterations and variations of the plan, but there has to be a plan. There has to be a seder in life. He goes on. Ve'elu she'en chozrin. Well, so these are the people who do not go ahead and come back from war. So one of the examples the Mishnah gave is that if someone built a home and they knocked down the home and they literally rebuilt the home in the same exact spot. So the halacha is you don't come back from war for that. So the Gemara says, Im hosit bo dimos echad. However, if you went ahead and you added on even one additional row of bricks or one additional row of stones, chosen, that's a new home. The only time you don't go back is if your mamish built the same exact home. But if you add it on just a little bit, that's considered to be a new home. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afa bona beis levanim b'sharon lahoya choser. Rabbi Eliezer said that even if you built a home in the Sharon, you wouldn't come back. Tanam mepneishem mechatshin osa pamayim b'shavua. Because it will say those homes would have to be rebuilt twice every 7 years. So because they were not stable homes, therefore, again, they do not really qualify as a bias, therefore you can't come back for more because of them. Ve'lushin zazimim koman. These are the people who do not leave for war at all. Remember, in the first category of exemptions, people leave for war and then they come back home and they help with the war effort at home by helping with food and public works, roads and everything else. There's another grouping of individuals who, remember, again, who don't even go out to war. Those are the individuals, again, somebody's in Shana Rishona of marriage, someone's in the first year of living in a home, someone's in the first year of enjoying the fruits of the vineyard. We're both saying in those circumstances, a person doesn't even go out to war at all and does not help with the war effort back home. Tan Rabbanan, Isha Chadasha, Pasuk says, a new wife, Imi Ela Isha Chadasha, Amar Agusha Minayin. How do I know again, what if she's not a new, what if again, she's not the new wife in terms of this, her first marriage. Maybe it's her second marriage. Amana grusha. Tamulomar isha mikamakom. It comes to include any wife. Imke ma tamulomar isha chadasha. So why does it say again? Why does it say a new wife? Misha chadasha lo. It means I will say that what? It's a new wife for this guy. Yotza machse grushasa shin chadasha lo. Which I will say comes to exclude which case of a man who remarries the woman he divorced, that does not create an exemption from war. Tan Rabbanan lo yetze batzava. Remember, I was saying any of these cases, the Shana Rishona of marriage, living in a home, or partaking of a vineyard, he doesn't go out to war at all. Yachol batzava hu delo yatza aval yaspik mayim umasal yitakin adrachim. I would say he doesn't go out to war, but perhaps again he participates in helping the war effort from home. He takes care of the food. We're fixing the roads. Therefore, again, the Torah purposely says this individual, Rabosai. Remember, again, here's the distinction: somebody who did kiddushin but didn't yet do nisuin, somebody who built home didn't yet live in it, someone a vineyard who didn't yet partake of it. These individuals go back and have to help with the war effort from home. Someone who is in Shana Rishona, the first year of enjoying these things, marriage, home, vineyard, doesn't have to do anything. So the Gemara says, "Yachol shani mar be'afa bona bais lo chancho." Now, to kamvelo chilo aras yishuvel alakcha. I might have thought that, therefore, again, even in the cases of a man who built a home but didn't yet live in it, planted a vineyard, didn't yet partake of it, married a woman, but did not yet do nisuin, I would have thought that perhaps they're exempted from all parts of the war effort as well. Talmud lomar, I love iata ma'avir, aval ta ma'avir alachirim. No, it's only the individuals in Shana Rishona who do not have to work at all for the war effort, but everyone else must. But after the pasuk says that the individual in Shana Rishona, whether it's Shana Rishona of marriage, of enjoying his home, or of his vineyard, he doesn't have to do anything for the war effort. Why does it have to say that he doesn't have to go out to battle? Isn't that not redundant? To which the Gemara said, "Lavor alav b'shnei lavin," to ultimately make him chayiv. Rabbi saying what? Two prohibitions. Rabbi saying halacha lemaisa. Here's what it comes down to: if someone has built a home but not yet lived in it, or someone has married a woman but has not yet lived with her, or if someone has planted a vineyard but has not yet enjoyed the fruit, the halacha is these are forced exemptions from war. He has to go back, but lamaisa, he must still help with the war effort from home. Takes care of food and water, fixes roads, is employed in the service of the people during this time. If, however, a person is in Shana Rishona, so a person got married, Shana Rishona, a person enjoying the vineyard, Shana Rishona, enjoying his home, Shana Rishona, then Abbas, not only does he not go out to war, but he's exempted from everything to do with service of the war as well. And if he tries to go and participate in the war effort, the Gemara actually says that he's in violation of two laven, of two prohibitions. Says the Mishnah, remember, the Gemara is now continuing again with the process of going out to war. So the officers would continue to speak to the people. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Hayari, so I'll say, now what's the next exemption? After a home, vineyard, and wife, Hayari Varach Alevav, someone who is scared and soft of heart. Rabbi Akiva says, Hayari Varach Levav Kimashmo. It's just like what it sounds like. She'eno yachol lama b'kishra mechamol liros chav shlufa. This guy is too scared. He can't handle battle. He can't handle war. Or to see a drawn sword. Rabbi Yosef Levi Omer Hayor Varach Levav Zeh Misarim Min Averu Shev Yado. Lefichach Tilsla Atora Kol Elu Shiachzer Beglavan. Rabbi Yosef Levi says, what does it mean that he's scared? He's scared of his averos. He's scared of Zaveros, but the Torah, in order to kind of provide some cover for this individual, when he so we'll say, here's the great idea. You know, when they give the exemption, it's not the pshat that if you built a home, leave. Okay, and that group leaves. And if you planted a vineyard, then that group leaves. The Kohen rattles off all of the exemptions, and what? And what? And everyone leaves. So in other words, you don't know why everyone's leaving. This way, even the guy who's scared, because of the Averos, that he has done. No one knows why he's leaving, and therefore, again, he has the cover of leaving under the umbrella of one of these other exemptions. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Amana LeKohen Gadol, Grusha VeChalutza LeKohen Hedyog, Mamzeres UNasin LeYisra, Bas Yisra LeMamzol UNasin. Hari Hu Ayari VeRachaleva. So we'll see what the machlokes is. Rabbi Yossi says, no. If you want to know what kind of averos you go back. For example, if you were a Kohen and you married a Grusha, or you were a Kohen Gadol and you married an Amana, or you saw married a Mamzeres, those are the kind of things you go back from war for. We'll discuss their machlokes in just a little bit. Bye. V'haya. So the pasuk was vayit. Better set up here. V'haya. Okay, V'haya, two lines on the bottom. V'yaki chalos ha-shotrim l'daber ala'am, and it will be again when the shotrim finish speaking to the people. U'pakto sari tzva'os barosh ha'am. And ultimately, again, they will go ahead and they will place the heads of the army. Sari tzva'os means the officers. The officers at the head of the nation. U'ba'akevo sha'am. So we'll say now what the Gemara says is the following. After they went ahead and gave this whole speech, they would place officers at the front of the army and at the back of the army. Ma'amidim zekifin lefneim, v'acharei ma'acharei m'kshinun shalabar zabiyadeim, v'chol ma'vaki shlachza rushus b'yodol lekafeach es shokav. So we'll say those officers who stood at the front of the army, their job was to help lift up anyone who fell down. So if somebody stumbled over the course of the war, the officers at the front would help them stand up. Why were the guys at the back? So the guys at the back were holding iron axes. And anyone who tried to run away, they had the right literally to chop off their legs. Quite literally. I mean, they had the right to go ahead and kill anyone who was trying to go ahead and leave. And the reason for that is, top of Amud Beis, Shetchilas Nisa Nefila. Because as I said, literally translated, it means because the beginning of flight is defeat. The Gemara will challenge that wording. Shene Emar, Nas Yisrael Lefnei Plishtim, V'gam Agifa Gedola Haisa Ba'am Ula'alanu Omer, V'yanusu Anshei Yisrael Lefnei Plishtim, V'yiplu Chalolim. So we'll say, so what's the logic over here? What is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, because again, if soldiers desert, that is the beginning of defeat. And therefore, again, what is an incredibly incredible idea, how you are permitted to go ahead and take the lives of these soldiers who are trying to desert in order to go ahead and maintain proper morale for the rest of the army. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, when is all of this true? In other words, when is what true? When are these exemptions true? Right, one of these exemptions that is not true. That's only b'melchames harishus. But it's only with optional wars. Ava b'melchamos mitzvah. But Rabbi says with a melchames mitzvah, an obligatory war, which we'll discuss again what melchames mitzvah is. Hakol yotzin. Everyone goes out to war. So this is a very interesting, important point. The exemptions that we're speaking about are dafka only by optional wars, but by obligatory wars, everyone goes out. Afilu chasan mechedro the kala mechupasa. Even a chasan and a kala from the chupa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, when is this true? Be melchamos mitzvah. So Rabbi Yehuda seems to say the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda says, when is all of this true? When is this true that there are exemptions? That's only melchemes mitzvah. Ava b'melchamos chobah, but obligatory wars, hakol yotzin, everyone goes out. Afilu chasan mechedra bekala michupasa. Even a chasan from his room and a kala from her chupa. Says the Gemara, my ika ben Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Let's remember, the first thing the Gemara is picking up on is in the Mishnah's Machlokes, between again what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Aglili seem to agree, that Yare and Rach Levav refers to people who are afraid of their averos. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili just said, someone who's afraid of his averos goes back. Rabbi Yossi Aglili gave an example of someone, you know, like a Kohen Gadol who marries an Amana, or a Kohen Hedyot who marries a Gerusha, or for that matter, again, a Yisrael marries a Mamzeres. So what are they arguing about? So which the Gemara says, Ika Benayu Avero Dirabanan. So what they're arguing about is, what happens if a person is in violation of an Avera Dirabanan? So I will say, a rabbinic Avera. Current Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you would go back even for violation of a rabbinic avera. For Rabbi Yossi, that's why he brings down his specific example. You only go back for what? For violation of biblical averos. To which the Gemara says, "Kiman azlahad disanya whose opinion is reflected in the following idea. Sach bein tefila letefila averihi biyadav echazel ami archa melchama. I will say again, the Gemara Maseches Menachos says that if you speak between tefillin shal yad and tefillin shal rosh, this would be an avera for which you would go back from for war. You would not go out to war for such an avera. Whose opinion is this reflected? Kiman k'rabi yosei lili. It reflects the view of Rabbi Yosi HaGlili. So, Rabbi Yosi, again, so what the Gemara now suggests is Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yosi HaGlili both agree that what? That Yare and Rach Levav, if someone is afraid, it refers to someone who's afraid of his Averos. The Machlokes is, what type of Averos allow you to go back for more? Rabbi Yosi says, only if you violated biblical prohibitions do you go back for more. Rabbi Yosi HaGlili apparently says that Lamaise, even if you violated rabbinic prohibitions, you would also go back for more. Man Tana Luhudson Rabbanon. Shabbos, who is the author of the following opinion? Shema kol kranos v'yirsia. If a person heard the sounds of the horns in war and he got frightened, hagafas trisin v'yirsia. He hears the clanking of the shields and he gets scared. Tzichtzuch charavos. If he sees the glitter of the swords, umayim shosasin al birkov. Literally means he loses control of his bowels and he begins to urinate. That's how scared he is. Choser, he goes back, in all of these cases, he goes back from war. Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? Lema Rabbi Akiva hi velo Rabbi Yosi HaGlili. I will say this would seem to be Rabbi Akiva and not Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, because Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that Yare and Rach Levav literally means what? Kimashmo, literally someone who is frightened. To which the Gemara says, no, Baha, afidu Rabbi Yosi HaGlili Moda. I will say, if the guy is literally wetting himself, so even Rabbi Yosi HaGlili would agree. Do me a favor, don't come out to battle, right? Go ahead, go back from war. Why? The Gemara says, Mishum dechsiv velo yimas es levav echav kilavavo. Because of the issue that says what? That he should not go ahead and literally melt the hearts of his brothers like his own hearts. In other words, that even Rabbi Yosi HaGlili says that if Mamish, he's so visibly frightened, and it's not a good idea for him to go out to war, and therefore he should go back. A little bit vice versa. Hayo kichalos ha-shotrim. Hay mipnei shomos. Remember again, the Mishnah says that when the shotrim, they placed officers in the back of the army, so if anyone tried to run, they could literally cut their legs off. So the Gemara says, "Hi, mipnei shetchilas nisa nefila, mipnei shetchilas nefila nisa mi baile." But the Gemara is just challenging the wording of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Because the beginning of flight is defeat," but the Gemara says, "Shouldn't it say that the beginning of defeat is flight?" To which the Gemara says, "You're right." Eimam mipnei shetchilas nefila nisa. But say it's an incredible yisod, not just for war, but in life. You know, sometimes again we face challenges, and there's such a Yetzahara, just to run, flight. I'll say, so flight is always the beginning of defeat. It's the beginning of defeat in battle. It's the beginning of defeat in life. It's a good bumper sticker. Shetchilas nefila nisa. The beginning, ultimately, of defeat in life. Beginning of defeat is flight. So Gemara goes right. Remember, Rabbi Chamasar Rishus. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rishus to Rabbanon. Zohi mitzad Rabbi Yehuda. So I'll say, first thing, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon are really just using different words for the same thing. So what the Rabbanon call a Rishus is what Rabbi Yehuda calls a Melchemes Mitzvah. Mitzvah the Rabbanon, Zohi Chovid Rabbi Yehuda. And the Melchemes of the Rabbanon is really what Rabbi Yehuda calls a Chova. So we'll say, so they're saying this, there are two different types of wars. There are obligatory wars and optional wars. Amarava, Melchamos Yoshua lechavesh devri hakol Chova. So we'll say, for example, everyone will agree that the war that Yoshua waged to conquer Eretz Yisrael, that's called an obligatory war. Everyone agrees with that. And Melchamos Bistavel Ravacha Divrei HaKol Rishus. And I will say similarly again, the wars that David HaMelech waged to expand the territory of Eretz Yisrael, everyone agrees that what? That's an optional war. Melchamos Rishus. Ki pligi, I will say, it's actually very interesting. Where they have machlokes? Lemeute ov de kochavim de lo lai sialah. I will say, this is amazing. What's the machlokes? The machlokes is a preemptive war. Preemptive war. What happens if Klal Yisrael goes out to war preemptively to lessen the ranks of enemies? So we go out, we strike first, not because there's a threat now, but to neutralize a future threat. So mar kar de mitzvah, umar kar de rishus. One calls that a melchemes mitzvah, right? A melchemes mitzvah. And one calls it what? An optional war. So we'll say, it's incredibly, that's fundamental machlokes. So Gemara says, my nafkamina. So we'll say, so what does it really matter if something is designated as an optional or an obligatory? So first of all, it's surprising the Gemara asks that question. We know the biggest nafkamina Dina is what? Is exemptions. There are only exemptions by optional wars. There are no exemptions by mandatory wars. But the Gemara says there's another thing, which is what? It's actually quite interesting. It will say, if you hold, when you go out to an obligatory war, the halacha is what? The soldier is exempted from all mitzvos. Why? Because if you're involved in one mitzvah, you're exempt from everything else. So if you're involved in a milchemes mitzvah, an obligatory war, then you are exempt from all other mitzvos. But lamaisa, again, if it's an optional war, then you'll still be chayiv in mitzvos. Again, in whatever framework a soldier is chayiv in mitzvos. So Rabbi say, what comes down halacha lamaisa is, everyone will agree, the peturim, the exemptions we spoke about in the last couple of mishnayos, are only referring to exemptions from what we call a milchemes rishus, an optional war. In a milchemes mitzvah, everyone goes out to war. And again, we see, and again, in terms of what constitutes a milchemes mitzvah versus milchemes rishus, against something like Yehoshua conquering Eretz Yisrael, milchemes mitzvah. Davar Melech expanding territories, milchemes rishus. Proactive or preemptive wars, that's subject to machlokes itself. Hadron Aloch, Mashuach, Mochama. All right, we'll say tomorrow, Mir Tashem, we'll have to start in the... All right, well, we'll figure out exactly what to do. But Amir Tashem, we'll start with the new parak tomorrow. Mazel tov.
Where is the what's the makor of the Torah exempted?
So the concept is.